Hello, everybody. Welcome to another MMCU. I'm your host, Kyle Stolick, head of community here at Robot Cash, the first platform that lets you buy, sell, and earn digital games. Whoa! I recorded the intro a couple times, and I didn't like it, and I'm kind of delirious right now. So bear with me. This is going to be one of those podcasts. Also, you might hear, since my walls are so thin, a cat in heat outside. It's been keeping us up at night. And, opened the door a few times, saw things I didn't want to see happening between the kitty cats. But, you might hear it. I was testing this out earlier, and the mic did pick it up. So, this cat's being very vocal about what it wants. Anyway, aside from weird stuff like that, I have been seeing... Okay, here's what's on the docket for today's podcast. Number one, we're going to go into what you've been asking a little bit in the Discord about certain changes of leadership. Second, we'll go into a bit of the news, and then that's about it. I was going to add some other stuff about, what's the direction, how are we responding to the changes? But you know what? I don't have much information on all that. I know there's plans underway, and there will be more information at a later date. Forgive me. We are regulated by the SEC, and one of the things I've been told is anything concerning this type of top-level change, I have to be very quiet about. So I'm sorry, community, but here's what you can do. If you have any questions, you are free to ask whatever you want in the Discord, on social media, DM me, whatever. If you'd like things to be seen a little bit more, of course, publicly is more your better option for that. And we will look at everything and we will address it the best we can. I just want to make sure that you, the community, don't feel stifled. You don't feel like this is not an environment where you will not be heard. You will always be heard, and I will always try to relay as much information from you to the powers that be, and then back and forth and so on and so on. So just know that soon.tm is the response to your questions regarding what's going to happen, why did that happen, blah, blah, blah. So FYI, that's what it is. Anyway, moving on to the lovely news, which I know so many of you come... It's not even the Robot Cash podcast, right? It's just the amazing news curation and perspective that you come on here every week. And you know what? If you feel there's a void, a deep, dark, longing void in you right now, it's probably because I'm putting the podcast out late this week. And I'm sorry for that. If you need a doctor's note or a recommendation to the doctor to describe the lack of heart of cash and the way it feels, I will write some perspective on that for you. Just, DM me. I was just reflecting on the week that it's been. I'm recording this Thursday. It's going to come out Friday morning. I put it out 3 a.m. Pacific time usually. And it's called the Monday morning catch-up. So we're really not adhering to any kind of a schedule or plan or even on brand right now at this point. And you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sincerely sorry. I know it's not good. It doesn't reflect well on me or the Robot Cash Company. But I will say this. We're very busy over here. I'm excited to wake up every day. I can't stop thinking about the future and all this. And so forgive me. One day, things will work out. And one day, we will represent the Monday in the Monday morning catch-up. I promise you. It'll happen. Maybe when interviews start again. But soon.tm. Soon.tm for all the things. Because everyone loves hearing that. Everyone loves hearing that when they have a question, that the answer will come down later. Who doesn't? Did I win the lottery? I'll tell you later. Do I have a debilitating thing that is going to change my life forever? Do I have 3 months to live? Yeah, I'll tell you later. I get you. I get you, everybody. Doing the best we can. All right, so first bit of news. The Final Fantasy 14 director of the MMO, how do I say this? Naoki Yoshida? Okay, so here's the article. It says, Naoki Yoshida is right. Final Fantasy 14 should be more stressful. And article at Kotaku. I really wanted to bring this up because it talks about how he thinks he made it, Final Fantasy 14, too easy for some people, and then therefore it's not fun. And he has this example of, if you're playing a side-scrolling platformer, it's like left to right, and there's no obstacles to jump over, and all you do is hold forward. He said that isn't fun. But I just wanted to add another perspective on this. He's not necessarily wrong from his point of view. Fun is really dependent on a lot of things. Your time of day, what's going on with you, your own inclinations. Walking simulators are big, and there's no obstacles to pass, you know, on those, or achieve. What is fun for one person is fun for another. And I remember there was a game that came out, a MOBA, and they said they were very much removing any anti-fun things in that game. But to me, a lot of the anti-fun stuff they removed was stuff that I liked. So, all perspective, right? Right, Kyle. Thank you for your perspective on that. You're welcome, audience. Keep listening. And tell everybody how much you like this, including, you know, the powers that be over here. And your grandma. If I got a letter from someone's grandma and said, that said, Kyle, you are a great host, that would probably be one of the greatest moments of my life. Like, I didn't even listen before Johnny told me to listen. And now I'd listen every week. Thank you. You're handsome. Compliments aren't bad. Oh man, it's almost 4 o'clock. It's the end of the day. It's been a long, long week, everybody. Very productive week. Very fun week too. So forgive me on everything. Another article came out, a series of articles about how WB Discovery might soon delist over a dozen Adult Swim published games. So if you're like me, you grew up on Toonami and Adult Swim, all that. At one point, Adult Swim started publishing their own games, a lot of really interesting indies. They're now discontinuing that brand. So with that, they are pulling a lot of the content that was created. Now, a lot of these developers and creators are coming out and saying they were promised IP rights to that, and they were promised lots of stuff. And so, you know, they're concerned that not only do they not have that sense of ownership, but they will no longer get the residuals from the sales. So I think that's a very, very fascinating piece of news that has come out. And I really want to see what happens with that. And also everybody, you know where I'm headed with this? Say it. Not quite. Where I'm heading with this is around game preservation. So let's think about for a second what happens when those games are delisted. If there's no place to purchase them physically, and some platforms might make things unavailable to use even after delisting, what happens? And so, again, if you're like me and you also spend 3 a.m. mornings / nights sometimes in a deep dark YouTube or TV trope hole investigating whatever it may be, and that night might be lost media, where you come out the other end militant about a lost Dexter's Laboratory episode and wanting to completely fund a search and quit your job and dedicate your life to the lost media. If you're like me in that regard, you're probably concerned about what happens with this. And if you're not that serious of a person, and if you're just someone that, you know, cares about keeping our history intact, I think it's very concerning on that level. I really hope there becomes some archive or some project that holds on to these things. It's frustrating to see. All right, former Xbox exec says the end of consoles is a serious question. Subheadline of Peter Morris's companies are weighing the pros and cons of continuing to make consoles. This is a question or a thought process that seems to emerge every 5 years in the gaming industry, or even less. You know, oh, do we need consoles anymore? Or are consoles dead? Is it just going to be one console? Is it going to be more consoles? All that type of stuff. Lately, it seems, you know, we're incrementally moving towards that a little bit. But who knows? Maybe there's always going to be a market for it. It goes into the thing about Microsoft investing into cloud gaming a lot and how just the market is shifting towards digital. And now we're having console refreshes mid-cycle, all that type of stuff. So, like, what are ultimately, it's up to consumers. We can make anything. Excuse me. Not tea, Earl Grey hot. Was that tea? No, it's not tea. It was water put into a teacup after Earl Grey. So I was a little confused. How did that happen? yeah. So long story short, it's, I just don't know if this is something that, we can definitively say one way or another, but, it's surely interesting to explore as a thought experiment. One console to rule them all. And I wanted to add to this too, the, 15 years ago or so, there was the developer and head of the studio, I believe, for Silicon Knights, Dennis Dyack, who famously said, was it on the One Up podcast or something like that, about how there's going to be just one console in the future, and, you know, all this platform wars will be over. And he was kind of blasted at the time by multiple people in the industry about saying what a ridiculous idea that is. But is this now vindication for Dennis Dyack in that regard? Time will tell. Time will tell. I'm not going to really go into this next news item. I don't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole, but I do think it's something that you need to know about if you don't already. It says former Activision boss Bobby Kotick wants to buy TikTok, report. Kotick is also looking for partners, which could include OpenAI CEO Sam Altman. So there you go. Recent legislation was approved or passed yesterday about this, and we'll see. There's another watch this space thing. How about that? That's all I'm going to say. Self-censorship. Because I like my job. Love my job. No, not that article yet. I'm saving that one for the end. Got to save the heartwarming ones for the end, right? Not much to go on here. It says Doom developers launched indie AAA game studio with dystopian sci-fi shooter as first title. So some people left the Doom remake and, you know, that brand, and they were not left it, but they did that and now they want to do their own thing. And it sounds like the game they're making is a shooter. So cool. I only brought this up because one thing I've been saying on this podcast is that people should get excited for the next iteration of the gaming industry that might inevitably come, which could be around more smaller studios and quicker turnaround times. Can this industry maintain this new world where it's $100-200 million games with 5-year cycles and they can only release one every platform generation? I don't know. As always, it's up to the consumers to decide. Vote with your wallet or your dollars or whatever you want to say. Okay, I thought this was a cute article. It was cute. It's from the Hawaii Public Radio, and it says video game based in Honolulu sells 1 million copies in first week. And it kind of just talked about what this means to the locals seeing Hawaii in a game, how excited they were. Here's a quote. It says, "You're like standing in front of Duke's statue, and then you can travel on a Segway to the international marketplace or pass by the Sheraton and the Royal Hawaiian Shopping Center." I was like, wow, this looks really, really cool. He said the success was in the details. Players will even find the characters speaking pidgin at times. So I believe pidgin is a mix of dialects, right? I don't know. Not smart. Anyway, long story short on that one. Very cool. Very cool. Neato. Anyway, moving right along, we got a good flow. You feeling the rhythm? You feeling the flow? I do. All right, there's another article that came out about this, this game called Llamasoft, the Jeff Minter story. And first of all, the game is kind of like a modern documentary, a modern take on the documentary concept, but in interactive form. I think the two other versions of this. Might have been from the same people. The Making of Caretica, is it called? Precursor to Prince of Persia. And I think there's like the Atari 50th or whatever. Is it 50? I don't know. It was a Atari anniversary collection. But this is a new type of way of exploring the medium. I'm really excited to play this. It just came out 1 or 2 days ago. So I haven't dove into it yet. Been very busy at work. But it just says, this oddball retro game collection is a must-own history lesson. Let me just read a little bit of it. It says, the visionary developer behind LlamaSoft, one of the industry's most eclectic studios, was practically gaming royalty from the 1980s to the mid-90s. He made a name for himself with the titles like Gridrunner and Revenge of the Mutant Camels before creating a true magnum opus in 1994's Tempest 2000. While he hasn't stopped making games since then, he even released a new one last week, Minter isn't exactly a household name outside of game history buffs these days. That's not because he's no longer producing great work. It's the harsh reality of a commercialized industry he's always revolted against. So, and it says, now Minter is getting his due in LlamaSoft, the Jeff Minter story, the latest interactive documentary from Digital Eclipse's Gold Master series. So, yeah. Check this out. Very cool stuff. Check the game out. I'm just really excited that people are exploring this medium in different ways, and to do it so respectfully with people that need their story told. Chef's kiss. Well done. Well done. There is this article that says, I don't know a ton about AI. It's not my thing. I just don't know much about it. I haven't invested a whole lot of time. So if anyone wants to add different nuance, different perspectives on this next one, just go right ahead and write in, and I'll read your thoughts on the next podcast. All right, so it says, this is from The Verge, Google's new AI will play video games with you, but not to win. Google DeepMind trained its video game playing AI agent on games like Valheim, No Man's Sky, and Goat Simulator. So what I gather from this is that it's working with developers to have the AI run through games and to, you know, complete tasks, do that type of thing. And it's learning a lot more as things go on. And my brain goes to is like, what's the practicality or use of this? Could we, from this data, develop AI assistants that will help people get to the next game, have better waypoint systems, you know, that analyze players' play as they move along? Are we talking about better data collection to developers because the game recognizes certain instances and can communicate that data back and help make better design decisions? How will we use this AI is very fascinating to me. Hopefully it doesn't take away jobs, but it creates new ones and allows people to be more creative. That's what I'm hoping. Ever an optimist. Trying to be. Because, you know, the cat's out of the bag at this point. All right, so I wanted to share this article I saw in Rock, Paper, Shotgun. It says, what's better, highlighted interactive objects or retrievable, reusable ammo? And do you like seeing a bunch of ammo and a bunch of stuff? You walk into a room and everything's highlighted. Do you like pressing a button and having that stuff appear? Or would you rather have it like searching pixel by pixel and being able to reuse your ammo? So which one is the better thing that's in games? You tell me. For me, it's all context, right? Some games, and it depends on the user, but who doesn't love using a crossbow on something in a game or using a bow and arrow and going to pick that up and out of the thing, whatever you shot, not condoning violence, and then reuse it multiple times like that? Do you remember when the first time that happened for you? And you're like, this is cool, I can retrieve it. Oh my God. And then other games didn't do it, and you're like, what? And they go, it's balance reasons. And you go, stupid. No. Anyway, digress. Another article, U.S. game spending could be down 10% this year. Market research firm Circana predicts a tough year for games retail. Long story short on that one, too, it just says things are not looking good. Sales are down across the board. there's not a whole lot of big releases happening. Grand Theft Auto 6 is next year. Switch 2, next year. Sony is saying that they don't have any big blockbusters this year. So everyone's like, well, you know, we can't predict the industry is going to be big because we don't have all the reliable data points to go with. Excuse me. But it does note that Helldivers and Palworld certainly sold a lot of copies and came out of nowhere. So what is it going to be, people? Are people just not going to spend as much money on games? Or, mind you, do you think people are going to find different places or different ways to spend it? Maybe if people can't get the games that they thought they were going to get this year, they have that money burning in their pocket, just scorching like a hole right through it. So like, oh, I got to spend this money, and then they try something new. I would like to think, hope, and I was going to say pray, but I'm not like that, and I don't want to get religious here, but hope that people would buy something different. I'm not going to go over that article. Change of heart about that one. It's about Paris Hilton, her agency in gaming, being in Roblox. It's just not that interesting. It was interesting when I first read it, but now I'm not having that feeling right now. Okay, so I want to go over this really quick. You know how people say, maybe you haven't heard this, but people are like, well, that game wasn't big on Twitch, so it's probably didn't sell many copies. There seems to be a prevalency to use Twitch as a yardstick for success by a lot of people, even in and out of gaming. And it's a little frustrating because it's only one data point. But in this, I can go into the stuff about how February is a really solid year or time for Twitch. It's been really good, blah, blah, blah. You don't care about that, right? You don't care about the overall. What is interesting is Helldivers 2, which sold hundreds of thousands of copies and so many that their servers couldn't handle it, didn't even break the top 10 on Twitch. And you might think, that's a lot of different things, right? Is that audience the type of audience that streams and or watches? Does it provide itself or prove itself as a great game to watch for entertainment? You know, lots of different things in that regard. Yeah, just remember, if anyone ever says, you know, that game wasn't big on Twitch, I doubt it sold many copies, you have two choices. Show them the data or write them off forever and walk away, no matter if they're family, your significant other, your dog. If your dog developed a tendency to vocalize his feelings on Twitch and gaming, I would say, sorry, Spot. It's not going to work out. I mean, it's just such a silly thing to say. Yeah. I'm happy now, personally, that I have data that I can be like, well, that's a wrong way to go about this. Mm-hmm. Look at this. I got some data. They don't correlate. Now, putting Sassy Ginger aside here, final article I wanted to really run by every one of you is this. Look at this. We're making good time this week. It says, my children helped me remember how to fly. The best present I have ever received is that my grown children still want to play with me. And it goes into this. First of all, I got to say, the writer, Deb Emlin, beautiful piece. I love this piece. This piece speaks to the heart of why we game. You got it. You are a lax gamer that maybe stopped for years, if not decades, for whatever reason. I mean, she notes it in the article, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody. She stops for a long time, but she comes back to gaming, and she gets it. Lovely, lovely piece. So it's about just falling out of love with games for adult, quote-unquote, adult reasons that may not seem reasonable or like you're prioritizing the wrong things in hindsight, and how games... she doesn't outright say this, but games are a language, and play is so important to us, to feeling of youthfulness, and, you know, there's other things as well there, but this is definitely one of those articles that gets it. And I love the closing segments. I don't want to spoil it again. I love when mainstream gets games like this. This is fantastic. So I'll stop gushing. Go read it. Deb Allen, again, wonderful stuff. thank you so much for writing that. That's what we need, more of that lovely positivity in the world about games. All right, everybody, that is it for the podcast this week. We're sitting at what, under 30 minutes. That's good for us. This was supposed to be like a 15, 20 minute check-in every week, and then we started getting a little out of control because we got so much to say. On my side, I've been playing Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, still Helldivers, tons of indies. There's been so many games coming out, playing games on every platform, still reading a bunch of comics. Man, there's so much. Every year I have this playlist that's like the year's best tracks, and I think yesterday alone I added like 30 or 40 new tracks that I listened to that it came out this year that I had never heard of. So what a wonderful time. I know there's some blizzards happening, some bad weather. If you have any nice weather, go out and enjoy it. Enjoy life. I'm saying this because I've had a lot of people come to me that are struggling in the gaming industry and beyond, and I'll say the same thing I've been telling everyone else. It's just that find something to wake up to every day, whether it be a song, whether it be a game, friends, family, just find something that brings you joy every day. And if it's not even what brings you joy, try to make a stranger smile every day and it will change your life. So anyway, Kyle Stolick here, head of community at Robot Cash. I hope you're all well, and I will get you more answers on the things that you're asking about some other time. So please just keep asking, keep being yourselves. Keep putting yourselves out there, and I'll do the best I can. So thank you for all the respect that you show. Thank you for your patience and everything. I will talk to you next week. Bye, everyone.